Before we start the message, I'd like to start in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for the opportunity to share your word with my brothers and sisters in Christ, Father. I just pray that you would keep my lips from trembling and keep me calm as I share your word. And I pray that it would be a blessing and that it would lift up the body, Father. I just pray that everyone here would receive a blessing from it, Father. Just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his willingness to go to the cross for us. We just praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I have been thinking a lot about what I wanted to share. And I had to do it a little bit quicker this time because Ray didn't give me a whole lot of time this time. But this will be the best. If I'm short on time, then I'm short on time. And we're just going to go the best that we can. Tonight, I had thought of a lot of different topics and everything, and that's why I wanted to sing the song to make me a blessing. And I was thinking about what I wanted to speak about. I decided that, you know, something that we don't touch on a lot is hospitality. And I know it sounds silly and probably petty, but believe it or not, in between all those different things that are listed for elders, it's stuck in there. And sometimes when we're reading that list for the elders or we're leading that list for what we need to be doing, we just sort of skip over that part and just keep going to all the other things that seem a little bit more important. So I thought I'd look at that tonight. And we'll look at some of that again when we go on. In the Webster Dictionary, it says that hospitality is the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward, or with kind or generous liberality. Now, when I read that one, I was like, well, that sounds like I'm supposed to be throwing a big old dinner party and inviting everybody, and we're just supposed to chit-chat and mingle and stuff. And then when I looked it further at another definition, it was a little bit clearer to me on this one where my heart was as far as what I wanted to present to y'all. It says, hospitality refers to the relationship process between a guest and a host, and it also refers to the act or practice of being hospitable, that is, the reception and entertaining of guests, visitors, or strangers with liberality and goodwill. Hospitality is also known as the act of generously providing care and kindness to whoever is in need. And so with that in mind, that was probably what I felt more was what I was geared toward when I was looking for what hospitality means to me. Is known as the act of generously providing care and kindness to whoever is in need. Now, a minute ago, I was talking about the leadership, and I was going to go down the whole list of requirements for an elder, but I figured that would take a lot of time, so I'm just going to share with y'all a little bit. And it says, this is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, and given to hospitality. And I was thinking, why are they commanded or expected to be given the hospitality? And I have to say that that's one interesting thing about the chapel is, you know, at our elders probably know more about us in the body than, you know, the churches with 500 people and one pastor. And I know that I've mentioned it before in situations in my life, they're the first ones that, you know, jump in to try to give spiritual help. And I know that, you know, there's different struggles that are going on. And they want to keep in tune with the body. They want to know what's going on. They need to learn their flock, if you will. And I was thinking about a shepherd and how he needs to know his flock and the personalities that the sheep might have and, you know, their way of drifting off or getting lost. Or they might need to know that, you know, who they can be around, who they can't be around, who do they have conflicts with. so they can intercede and help better that situation and protect that one or keep them safe or help them out of a jam, whatever it might be. So that's why it's really important. And that can provide an avenue for fellowship and counseling and direction and edification for the body. And I can tell you, even one time, one of the elders had invited me to their home, and we were doing a Bible study, and I spilled tea all over the table. I was doing that hand talking. You know, some people do that, and I was talking, and all of a sudden I just went boom and knocked tea all over his table, and I believe I spilled it on a Bible. And I was thinking, oh, great, you know, I'll never be invited to their house again. Well, sure enough, I was there the following week, but of course they made sure the glass was a little bit further away from me to make sure I didn't do it again. But it's easy to see why God would want the leadership to be open to hospitality so they could learn more about the body. But the truth is, it doesn't stop there, because it doesn't just apply to the leadership. In Romans 12:1, it's hot in here tonight. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then as we go down, it talks about many of the different ways that, you know, ministries that are available, and that we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves in a way. I mean by giving of your time to be able to entertain people, to get to know them. And in Romans 12:13, it says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So one to another, as just as the elders need to do, the body needs to do. And I know that, you know, this sort of ties in with my message a couple of times ago, but I think it's important that, you know, we build the bonds that are here, so that way the body works together more. And we know a problem. I know today there was an issue that come up, and I got a phone call, and boom, we were able to help somebody out. And I mean, it needs to be like that. It needs to be spontaneous. You know, if somebody needs help, not just inviting them for dinner, but if they need help, you need to give it them the help. But and this will help us to help edify each other, to help each other with struggles, to feel a need, and most importantly, to help learn each and everyone's name. Because I know that several of us, there's probably some that still don't know each other's name. And I was at the grocery store the other day, and somebody's like, what's your name? And I said, my name's Bob. And they said, and then I said, no, I'm not Bob. I'm just picking with you. I'm Johnny. And I told them who I was, but I was just picking with them. But we need to know each other's name. We're family. We need to know each other's needs, struggles, successes, everything. We need to know those things about each other so we can help encourage and celebrate and whatever else comes with that. And I was just thinking about when I was thinking about that part, is I couldn't imagine how much, you know, the Salvation Army, they're doing that outreach ministry over there. And, you know, they're bringing them to the Salvation Army, and they're having a meal, and they're sitting down with these people, and they're talking to them. And they're not just talking to them about the gospel, but yes, they do talk to them about the gospel, but they're talking to them about them and learning about them and knowing what their struggles are and knowing what their needs are so we can help them out. And then they'll go, well, you know, so many times I have my back turned on. You know, somebody turns away from me and they don't want to help me. And here's people that are, you know, what's different about them that, you know, from this other guy over here? You know, you want to raise those questions. You want them to be asking, why is this fellow being so nice? Why is he inviting me? It's because of Christ. Christ changed. I know before I got saved, you know, the only time we had to get together was a birthday party. You know, and then you have people opening up their homes and say, hey, why don't you come over for lunch on Saturday? Why don't you come to lunch on Sunday? You know, come on over and we'll, you know, and you sit there and talk about things and you learn more and you're building a relationship of the body. Getting even hotter in here. Now, I think it was last Sunday, and I think when Steve was sharing, I may be wrong, but anyway, he was talking about Zacchaeus. And I found it very interesting about Zacchaeus because, you know, Zacchaeus, he was a little man, a wee little man, not that wee. But he was climbing in a sycamore tree, and the Lord called him down by name, and he said, I'm going to your house today. Now, I'm thinking to myself, okay, the Lord, Jesus Christ, just, you know, I was just planning on climbing in a tree and looking and watching pass by, you know. I wasn't prepared for him to come to my house, you know what I'm saying? But as soon as he gets down the tree, he gets to the house, and I'm sure being a successful, wealthy person, he knew how to, you know, be hospitable. I'm sure he knew how to entertain guests. And he welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ in his home. And I'm sure he took care of him. But it's interesting that he says, let me see here. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, Luke 19:6. Luke 19:7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So he was going to, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. So because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe Zacchaeus was saved. You can argue that point, I don't know, but I have a feeling that he wasn't saved. I think he saw all the crowd and he had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, well, I'm just going to climb up the tree and see what all the hoopla is about. And so he comes to his house and he says, I'm going to change the way I do things. Against something from somebody that I'm gonna give it back, and if I've done them wrong, I'm gonna give them fourfold. Now, you know the way the world is, and the way this man is, he probably was really connected to some money, and he really loved money, because he even was willing to do it by false pretenses. But all of a sudden, this change is coming to his heart. And it says the day is salvation come to this house. So I believe he got saved. And I think about that in two respects for the believers when we look at this verse. Now, when I was looking at Matthew, Matthew Henry commentary, he says, we have not now Christ to entertain in our houses, but we have his disciples. And what is done to them, he takes as done to himself. And, you know, this is sort of hinting back on what we were talking about a minute ago, that that we need to be hospitable to one another. We can't entertain Christ like Zacchaeus did, but we can entertain each other and be hospitable to one another. And by doing so, we're doing it as if it was to Christ. And that's what the verse says. And then at the same time, I was thinking, well, you know, Christ came to his house. He got an invitation to come to his house. And so, I was thinking, and y'all can question me later if you want to, but when you're unsaved relatives, it might happen. When they invite you to their house, go. Have your sword ready, you know. be full of grace and seasoned with salt, but go. That's an opportunity. Here was an opportunity to minister to Zacchaeus. And the Lord not only, you know, came and visited with the sinner, but he saved him. So when you go to their house and they start talking to you and y'all getting those spiritual conversations and things start going this way, you ready to answer that question? Answer that question that comes before you. Because, you know, it says that we're supposed to be ready for the question that comes. So that's what we need to do when we have unsaved friends or family members. And I don't know where your comfort zone is. I mean, if you ain't comfortable and they got some party and you don't feel comfortable, don't go. But I'm saying if you know that they're, you know, they're okay, yeah, and go to them. And then the opportunity to present the gospel. I mean, each and individual person has their own set of how they deal with their family and things. So, I mean, you have to seek that one out yourself. But the opportunity to witness the gospel for all the friends and family that we put on that salvation list is right there. Okay. And I think one of the things that really jumped out when I was talking about that definition earlier was when we talk about in Matthew 25:35. It says, "For I was an hungry," and I ain't never heard of what a hungry is, but I'm sure it means he was hungry. "And ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Now, one interesting thing with the job that I have now is you see the ripoff artists that are trying to get some free lunch ticket. And then mixed up with all of the con artists is some sincere people. Some people that really need help. They need food. They need shelter. They need somebody to come see them in the hospital. And I know that, you know, you go over here to Avante and you just walk down the hall and you say hey to those little old people. And they look at you and they smile and they say, hey, how you doing? And the question is, I wonder when the last time I heard somebody say, hey, how you doing? Something as simple as that. Make them smile. And I mean, yeah, you know, you might not have time to throw a full-fledged conversation with them. That would be nice. But you can walk by and say, hey, how you doing? And they'll look, oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. And they love it. Because that's probably about the most interaction they may have had with somebody for a while. So I think it's important, you know, that we do provide these and not just these necessities. I mean, he's talking about coming to visit somebody in prison. Now, I wasn't coming to take them nothing. I was just coming to visit them. And I mean, you go to the prison. I've been in the prison. You go in there and the fellow walks out and it's like you're his little tidbit of freedom because you came in and visited him. That's it. And the opportunity is open for you to talk to people about the gospel. Since the numbers are low today, we'll probably be letting go early. not because of the numbers, but I feel like I'm going faster than I need to be. I wanted to share with y'all some examples of where hospitality was shown to others. And if you look at Genesis 18:1, we talk about the day that Abraham in 18:3, it says, "And said my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." And it says, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do, and as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes." And Abraham ran into the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he had him dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Okay, they had a meal. Ain't that's good. Well, then the Lord starts talking to him, and he says, "Well, where's Sarah, your wife?" He's, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And of course, we know the story. She laughed. And then as we go on further, the Lord starts, Abraham starts to have a conversation with the Lord, because he wants to save those people in Sodom. And he says, "Well, you know, if there's this many righteous people down there, how about that?" He said, "Okay, if there's that many people, I'll do that." And then he turned around and said, "Well, wait a minute. What if it's only this number of people?" And he says, "Okay, I won't destroy it if there's that many people." And then he broke it on down until he got to 10. And he said, "What if it's 10? He says, "Okay. Well, of course, you know, God keeps his promises. And he said, you know, if there were 10 righteous people there, he wasn't going to destroy it. But guess what? There weren't 10 righteous people there. So he destroyed it." And the thing that I like here, well, first of all, he's communicating with the Lord. And I know that we're not going to be with the Lord, but as we saw earlier, as we do to one another, we're doing to Christ. So, we need to conversate and learn about each other. And right here, Abraham learned that he was having a child. Just because he said, "Hey, come on in, let's sit down and talk a little while," you know. And then, this really amazes me. The God of the universe is going to sit there and let you sort of barter or have some sort of conversation about, you know, "Well, I tell you what, you know, if there's this many righteous people, don't destroy Sodom." You know, and he said, "Okay, if there's that many," I mean, he sit there and did this with the Lord. I mean, who's going to sit here and argue with the Lord? But here he is sitting just after a meal, sitting here having a conversation with the Lord about saving these people in Sodom. He would have never done that if he hadn't entertained him and invited him into his home. Now, I believe it's 2 Samuel 9:6. I don't like these abbreviations. Now this is a heartfelt story. I hope I got it right. It says, now, this is 2 Samuel 9:6, and it says, when Mephibosheth, and if I say any of these names wrong, then you can go ask somebody else how to pronounce them. The son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, and he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. Mephibosheth was ready to serve. You know, he was down there, hey, you know, fell on his face before David and says, Hey, you know, do what do you want me to do? You want me to sweep the floor? I sweep the floor. You want me to go clean out the horse trough thing? I'll do that. You want me to go slop the pigs? I'll do that. What do you want me to do? And David said to Mephibosheth, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness of Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto the master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all his house. And thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruit, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master soon shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then Ziba unto the king, according to all that was my lord the king has commanded his servant, show shall thy servant do as for Mephibosheth, said the king. He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. And so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. Now, how many people, well, I don't know, do you think would be willing to do this? Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson. Okay? And Saul attempted on several occasions to kill David. And of course he was the son of Jonathan, which of course David was good friends with Jonathan, but still, your granddaddy tried to kill me. Yeah, you can sweep the floor down there. You can go out there and clean the horse trough out. No, that ain't what David did. David said, no, you come in here and you sit with me and I'm going to restore to you everything that is rightfully yours. He gave him everything back. David didn't hold no grudges. David brought him into his house. And it says he did eat continually at the king's table. So constantly, they were having a meeting at lunch every day. And he was fellowshipping. He was learning about his needs. He was building a relationship with Mephibosheth. So, and that's what we need to do. And I know that we've discussed that. And here's an example of that. So I'm just reinforcing it. But one thing I wanted to talk about, finally, we have to remember the one who was the most hospitable. And when I was thinking of this, I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ took a bunch of wretches and made us to come into His presence and brought us into His heavenly house. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be fellowshipping with Him for eternity. And you know, it's hard when you think of who you want to invite, who you don't want to invite, who you know, but the Lord Jesus Christ, He invites us all. He wants everyone to come to Him. He wants everyone to spend eternity with Him. And I'm going to close with this story because it, I can't remember how long ago, but I know that Jeff was sharing a story one time what he's talking about, and I may be hazy about this some, I don't know, but he was saying that he was jogging up the road and this dude come by in a pickup truck and he spit at him. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, if I was out there jogging, somebody spit at me, I would be running after him to find out. Well, of course, I probably couldn't keep up with the truck, but I would be trying to find out where the dude was going. And then I thought to myself, you know, well, if I was Jeff, what would I do when I finally caught up with him? Would I knock him in the nose? And then I thought, well, you know, maybe we could find enough mercy and say, it's okay. I didn't appreciate what you did, but I forgive you. That's a tall order, isn't it? For us men folk, we'd be like, no, uh-uh. Something, we're going to throw down. You know, we're ready to fight. Somebody spit on me. And then I thought even further, and I think I shared this back then, was, well, what if Jeff had run up there and said, look, I ain't appreciate what you did. And you know, I forgive you for what you've done. And I tell you what, I'm going to invite you to my house. We're going to have steak dinner. I'm going to go down to Richard's Meat. And I'm going to get you some of that Richard's Meat seasoning and put it on there. See, I'm not holding anything back. And I want you to come to my house after he just spit in your face. But that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He was pierced. He was bruised. He was beaten. He had his beard pulled. He had a spear rammed in his side. He was hung to the tree, crown of thorns. You're invited to my house. I forgive you, and you're invited to my house. Isn't that great? The Lord Jesus Christ is good, and He is the master of hospitality.